This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. On this podcast, our focus turns to one of the hottest areas affecting the workplace today, HR analytics. Many listeners are undoubtedly familiar with the best-selling book and movie Moneyball, which detailed how the vastly underfunded Oakland A's uncovered statistical advantages to overachieve against much better-funded baseball rivals. But analytics in other professions, including HR, has been around for quite some time. To find out more about what it means for employers as a practical matter, I'm very pleased to be joined on this podcast by Josh Burson. Josh is the founder of Burson by Deloitte, which delivers research-based strategies designed to help leaders drive exceptional business performance. He's a frequent speaker on talent management issues and has been quoted by the Wall Street Journal, CBS Radio, and other leading media outlets. He's also a popular blogger for Forbes.com and a columnist for Chief Learning Officer magazine. Josh, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you, David. It's exciting to be here and talk about this really important topic.
Well, as you said, it is a really important topic, and analytics in a variety of professions, including HR, as we noted, is very much in vogue these days. But for the uninitiated, tell us a bit about what analytics is.
Sure. You know, I think the book Moneyball is a really good example. By the way, I happen to live in Oakland, so I actually watched all that happen here. First of all, it's a little bit of a buzzword, and it's been thrown around an awful lot the last couple of years. But relative to HR, it's trying to make better decisions based on data and informing the human decisions with proven statistical data that makes the human decisions better. So in the case of Moneyball, the data doesn't precisely tell you, you know, who to hire or who to put on first base or what order to put to make the batters, but it does actually inform the decision and make a much better answer. And so the human plus the data together come together. And in fact, as we talk about analytics more, one of the things you're going to see is that analytics not only helps managers make better decisions and you in HR, but it also helps individuals in the workforce make better decisions because analytics can be used to help them actually make better decisions on their own. And that's a new discipline, which I'll talk about a little bit later, called behavioral economics.
People instinctively understood from Moneyball how uncovering certain stats can help a baseball team, as Oakland raced to a division title in the movie. But employers aren't talking about on-base percentage or wins above replacement. So with that said, how does analytics translate to helping HR?
Every company on the planet has to do a couple of basic things. They have to hire people. They have to decide who to promote. They have to decide how much money to give people every year and who to get more money to or who to give less money to. They have to decide why certain people are higher performing, say, in sales than others, and what they can do to improve the performance of those that aren't at the right level. And then they have to make decisions about quality and theft and all sorts of compliance things. And all of those decisions are being made by managers, and they're all being made by gut feel or experience. And so this is a very, very relevant topic in management and HR. I mean, I'll just take one really briefly. How do you decide who to hire? Most hiring managers will hire somebody like them. They will say, well, you know, in my career, my experience shows that people that have this experience, went to this college, have this degree, have worked for these companies, are the kind of people that work here. Sometimes that's great and sometimes that works. But if you take a data perspective and you analyze through data the background and characteristics of the high-performing people over a period of time, not only 1 year, but maybe over 3 to 5 years, you actually might find, as most companies find, that the candidates who went to great colleges and get really high grade point averages are not the best candidates for this role, and maybe the candidates that worked in another competitor are also not the right role. That's information that has a huge impact on the performance of your company. So you can use data and analytics to really improve your company's business performance fairly easily.
That's interesting what you mentioned about gut feel, because sometimes if a manager relies on gut feel, they might pick the person they'd most like to have a beer with or share a joke with at a cocktail party.
Well, that's exactly true. I mean, that's exactly what happens, and many, many studies have been done. People hire people they like, They hire people they feel comfortable with. They do not hire people who threaten them, but sometimes that is the right thing to do. Sometimes you want to hire somebody that's actually maybe a better performer than you. And all of those things are just human biases that are a natural part of being a human being. And data allows us to get around those and make better decisions. But data won't replace humans. I mean, we're still going to be managers and leaders and, you know, HR departments. But many of these decisions are now being made in a much more intelligent way.
Josh, you've written that there's a major shift taking place in the market for people analytics, as you call it. Tell us about that.
Well, here's the little bit of the history of this. HR analytics or analytics in HR, whatever you want to call it, has actually been around for 150, 200 years. You know, in the 1800s, industrial engineers used data to figure out how much weight a worker should carry in the steel mill to optimize the amount of weight they should carry. You know, too much weight, they hurt themselves, too little weight, they're inefficient. So we've been using data to measure human performance for a long, long time. And so during that period of time, the domain has taken on different names. And most HR departments think about analytics as collecting data about HR. So, you know, how much money are we spending on training? What is our turnover rate? What is our leadership pipeline? What is the distribution ratio of our performance ratings? What is the comp ratio of our salaries? That's great that you have to have that data, but that data is not that interesting to business leaders. The new world of analytics that's evolving now is taking people data and applying it to business problems. What are the characteristics of the best salespeople? What are the characteristics of our best leaders in Asia and so forth? So it's shifting into much more of a business-centric solution. And what our research found is that for the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a lot of articles written and there's been a lot of little stories in the press, but companies weren't really doing it. This year, we see a huge uptick in adoption because the technologies have started to mature. There are enough examples and stories that companies are now investing in this. And so we're seeing the maturity of HR departments in analytics doubled in 2016 over 2015. And that's the first time in the 5 or 6 years we've been studying it that we've seen that much growth.
Josh, what are some other important benefits that you're seeing when it comes to analytics and talent management?
Well, I would say the 3 or 4 biggest areas that are, you know, kind of easy wins in analytics. The first is recruiting. Any company of any size can do some analysis of the background and characteristics of the people that have stayed the longest and turned out to be the most successful, and that will make you better at recruiting and sourcing. The second is retention. Most big companies are starting to build data models about why people leave. So, for example, a lot of data shows that when you commute more than an hour, you're unlikely to stay at that job for a long period of time. So that's a pretty easy thing to fix. You don't hire people that live more than an hour away unless they're absolutely outstanding candidates for some other reason. There's studies being done on companies that force people to work too hard, people to travel too much, and what are the impacts of that on retention. So retention is the second area, particularly with high-value people in engineering roles, sales roles, and other technical roles. The third area where analytics is very powerful is in fraud and theft. Every company has employees that do the wrong thing now and then, and they either impact the business directly or they impact other people in the workforce because of their behavior. It turns out you can predict who those people are likely to be based on analytics and based on data that you collect during the recruiting process. So quite a few companies have done studies of patterns of fraud and theft and determined that they actually can fix it with some, you know, kind of unique new things. And I'd be happy to give you examples of those. And then the fourth, I would say, that's significant and pretty much everywhere is sales productivity or customer service productivity. What are the characteristics of our high-performing salespeople? What can we learn about them? And how can we hire more people like that or help other people become like them? So those are 4 things that like every single company has to deal with where data will help.
I'm sure you're familiar with the famous Mark Twain saying about there being lies, damn lies, and statistics. So can analytics truly predict whether person X will be a good employee or how long they might stay? And is there a risk that it could take away the human element?
Yeah, I mean, everything could be taken too far, and I think some of the, I won't mention any company names, but there have been some company names in the press that have pushed it a little too far. and the data is never perfect. We're talking about human beings here. We are complicated animals. We're not machines. So there is no, you know, completely predictive model for anything that people do. There's a lot of psychological reasons people do things the way they do them. But you can get very smart about your company and what is driving the culture and performance of your company if you look at the data. And one of the things that there's been a lot of press about and a lot of people are writing about right now is this concept of unconscious bias. We all have bias implicit in our nature. You know, we may not like people of a certain type or of a certain background or who worked in a certain company or have a certain style because of something in our family history or personal history, and that impacts the way we lead and manage our companies. And so analytics is not going to completely eliminate all that, but it actually really makes companies better. I'll give you another example. So a large automobile company runs a bunch of manufacturing plants, and one of the biggest factors in productivity and revenue is unplanned absences. So when you have a day of manufacturing and a bunch of people don't show up for work that morning, unplanned, you can't get anybody to come in fast enough. The line is either down or you're going to reduce the output. So it's very, very costly when there's unplanned absences in manufacturing. So this particular company did a statistical analysis of all the unplanned absences over a period of time, I think several years, and looked at all the characteristics of things that happened and actually came up with a model that can predict pretty accurately when they're going to have a lot of unplanned absences. And it has to do with things like weather, time of the year, things that happened the week before. It turned out that one of the things they found was that people that had performance appraisals the week before, many of them didn't show up for work the following week. So they can use that data, and now what they do is they actually overhire, overstaff the plants in the days that they predict there will be higher turnover or more unplanned absences, and it's had a big improvement in their revenue generation and their productivity. So I see this happening all the time in companies. And by the way, the other reason I think it's big is every major company already does this for customers. You know, we look at customer life cycle, we look at why customers leave, we look at customer retention, we do a lot of analysis of customers, so we already have a lot of discipline around this. We just haven't applied it quite enough on employees.
Very interesting. And I'm guessing that the Monday after the Super Bowl is probably one of those days as well.
It could be. Right. I'll bet there's somebody running a report and a statistical analysis on that right now.
Well, Josh, you mentioned just a moment ago about unconscious bias. So I'd like to ask how well-meaning companies overcome that and avoid that problem.
Well, there's a lot of practices actually being established now. One is that there is training that actually makes you more sensitive to your bias. But generally speaking, it's almost like you can't change your personality that much. You can't do away with bias on your own. So the best thing that companies do is they actually create rules. Like, there might be a rule that when you're recruiting in this position, you must talk to, you know, a certain percentage of minority candidates. They have diversity standards and diversity measures. Even though diversity metrics seem a little bit burdensome and a little bit unfair to some people, they actually have a lot of benefit because they force people to push themselves into uncomfortable areas and learn that some of their biases are unnecessary. And we put leaders into positions where leaders are expected to behave in ways to encourage others to be more diverse and inclusive, for example. And that's the one that's usually used for unconscious bias. And the use of data really helps. It really helps people, you know, make better decisions that don't rely on their gut feel. When you're a leader, when you're a business leader or manager or supervisor, whatever your job is, and you're hiring or managing people, every day, every single day, you are making judgment calls about people. What should I say to this person? How should I handle this situation? Should I hire this person? Should I give this person a raise? All those decisions are going through your mind, and they're very difficult decisions for everybody, even senior executives. So we rely on our own personal experience. That's the only thing we can do. So if we don't bring in data, there's going to be bias in every single one. There's a study out there, I can send you a link to it, that found that 61% of the performance appraisal process, or the number that you get for a performance appraisal, is driven by the manager's personal opinion of you. It has nothing to do with the work you did, the performance you did, the output you did, whether you hit your goals. more than half of what you get in a performance rating is based on what the manager thinks of you personally. That's exactly how sort of difficult this problem is.
You've been tracking analytics for many years now, and one of the three big easy wins that you had mentioned involved fraud and theft. So from what you've observed, is there enough data to show that analytics can help my business to prevent trade secrets theft or fraud or other problems?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, banks are putting together some very sophisticated models to determine why and what are the likelihood of compliance violations. Banks basically have models that will, based on your behavior at work, that will predict that you're likely to commit some sort of a compliance violation. There's a financial services company in Canada that looked at theft and found that they could predict theft based on the number of miles between a branch and a branch manager. And if the branch manager didn't visit the branch in a certain regular basis, that there would be more theft. Another company in Silicon Valley did a study of toxic employees and found that people that exaggerated their skills during the interview process, and if they had had a pre-hire assessment, those that most exaggerated their skills are most likely to commit some form of toxic behavior later at work. And they also found that toxic employees are contagious and that other people actually on the same floor that they work are more likely to do illegal or unethical things if there's somebody on their floor that does it. So, I mean, I'm getting examples like this all the time of people that are using data to come up with things that are very important business issues. I won't mention the names of any companies, but almost every day you can pick up the Wall Street Journal or another magazine and you can see some company that had some kind of a major problem, a compliance problem, a product safety problem that was caused by somebody not paying attention to what they were doing. Hopefully that company is going back and looking at a bunch of data and trying to figure out what are the things that could have predicted that.
Again, we're speaking with Josh Burson, the founder of Burson by Deloitte. Josh, what's the biggest misconception that folks at the management level have when it comes to using analytics?
Well, I would say the biggest misconception or the biggest challenge is two things. One is that the data alone is enough. It's not. The data and the analysis has to be used as input, but then you have to make decisions on it, and you have to actually change the organization as a result of the data. The second is that it takes time and money to get good at this. And you have to make investment in some good technologies. You have good HR data. You have to consolidate the HR data into a database so you can actually run these kinds of analysis. You have to hire a statistician, either a contractor or a professional person in the company, to actually look at the data. And then you have to stick with it year after year. Because the first time you run an analysis, you're going to scratch your head and say, huh, that doesn't feel right. So you may or may not act on it immediately, but the second time and the third time and the fourth time, you suddenly become very confident that the data makes sense. So it takes patience. But that's what happened in customer marketing. That's what happened in sales analytics. That's what happened in financial analytics, all the other places in business where we do analytics. It didn't happen overnight. It took a decade of experience for companies to get good at it. My assessment is we're 5 years into this sort of new definition of how we do HR analytics. The technologies are getting better every day. You can buy some off-the-shelf solutions now that are pretty doggone good at this, but they're not available to everybody in all companies. But it's picking up speed, as I mentioned earlier. And by the way, the other thing that people tell me all the time is that HR professionals don't have enough background in math and statistics, so they don't feel comfortable with this. And I actually don't think that's an excuse. Your HR executive doesn't have to have a PhD to hire somebody or to fund a project or bring in a contractor to do this kind of work. Those specialized skills are available in the workforce, even if they're not in your HR department today. So I don't think that's really an excuse to not learn about this discipline and take advantage of it. One more point I would make, don't try to boil the ocean and build a big database and see what it says. This isn't a good idea. It is not a good idea to look at the data and see what you learn. Do it the other way. Pick a problem that you know is a business-critical problem and collect the data that helps you make a better decision about that problem. And that problem is most likely to be turnover, productivity, sales performance, fraud, theft, something along those lines, customer acquisition, customer retention. And you'll find yourself coming to a solution much, much faster and getting much more buy-in from your organization for doing the work.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, finding the problem first, because otherwise you could be drowning in spreadsheets, so to speak. And one other area I wanted to ask you about involved privacy. Any privacy concerns that have arisen in this area?
Yes, this is a big topic. We are now at the point in most companies where we certainly have information on employees' salaries and, you know, and their jobs, their performance ratings. We might have a badge reader in the company so we know where their location is. We have their email history. We have a lot of data about people. And when you build this little analytics team and you start doing it, you're going to start using all that data and collecting it. You have to put in place privacy policies, anonymity policies, and the people that work in analytics have to be trained on data protection and data security, because if this data leaks out, people are going to be very upset. You also have to tell people that you're doing this. So a piece of research just came out last month from Conference Board that said that 60 to 65% of employees are worried that their company is collecting information on them that they don't know about. And that's not a good thing. That doesn't make people happy or productive at work. So you should tell people that you're doing it in an open way, but be very rigorous about the data protection and the privacy. There's a lot of discipline around that. IT departments do this. You know, certainly we at Deloitte do this take this very seriously. But if you're, you know, if this is the first time you've done it, make sure you're taking some time to make sure that you have security and privacy policies in place.
Okay, we only have a minute or two left. So, Josh, do you have a final piece of advice you'd like to offer for employers and HR folks?
My final piece of advice for, you know, anybody is start small. Pick a problem that's easy to understand, that you know people will pay attention to, you know there's a high return on investment. Bring in or hire somebody with some statistical background that's done this kind of work before. We actually have enough going on in the market now that you will find people in the marketplace that have done this before that can do it for you. And take a long-term view that it's going to be a very strategic part of HR going forward. It's not just a little project that you try as an experiment. It's a discipline you have to rely on over time because it will grow and it'll touch more and more of your HR and management decisions as you grow. If you do those things, you'll probably have no problem getting the investment and you'll see a huge return relatively soon. And the final piece of advice is you have to take your HR data and systems seriously. Companies have not spent enough time paying attention to their core HR technology, and so they have dirty data, inconsistent data, incomplete data about their workforce. There's no excuse for that anymore. Just like you wouldn't let your financial systems have poor data in them, you really can't let your HR systems have poor data in them. So this will force you to take that seriously as well.
Josh Burson is the founder of the California-based Burson by Deloitte, which provides research and advisory services focused on corporate learning. Josh, I've really appreciated your insights. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, David. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm David Weisenfeld. We hope you've enjoyed this ExpertHR.com podcast. Thanks again for listening. Continue checking our website regularly for more programs on key employment topics affecting the world of HR. Recent podcasts include What the Zika Virus Means for Employers and Video Job Interviewing, What You Need to Know. The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR, our subscription offering, or our 50-state employee handbook, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved.